Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. Really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Now, those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Tuesday. Damn, it's only Tuesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. Thank you so much for tuning in at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. We appreciate all of you who have done so already. The 1-9 Syracuse Orange will head to Notre Dame to take on the undefeated Irish in their last game of the season. And Greg Paulus, along with his Purple Eagles, they'll head to an empty dome to take on the 1-0 Syracuse Orange for basketball. We'll let you know what we think there. So we will also do some... We're going to do some fan feedback from the last episode. We asked for your feedback. You gave us some. There's a couple things to talk about there. And, you know, the Syracuse women's basketball team is off and running. Tiana's back, and we're going to hit that up. We did mean to hit that up in the last episode, but that episode just ran so long. So we'll just hit that up quickly. And then we're going to talk about Syracuse Niagara and also do our ACC picks. So a lot to get to. But first, you thought I was going to go into a read, didn't you? You did. Fooled you. Some bad but could be worse news, Joe, on Sidibe. MRI showed a torn meniscus, a projected 4 weeks return. Surgery was today. That announcement came yesterday. Going in there today for surgery. So as we look at this schedule, looks like he's going to miss games against Niagara, Rider, Rutgers, Boston College, Buffalo, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, and hopefully be back for UNC.
Yeah.
That's 4 weeks, and we don't know. I'm just going off of what we said. So we do know what the lineup kind of looks like. Are we going to see some Anselm? Are we going to see some Bobby B?
We're going to see somebody.
Jesse Edwards. We're going to have to, right? He can't play those six guys, you know, for that many games.
But he has before. So
I know he has.
And Sidibe, that news really actually was when I heard that, I don't want to cheer for an injury, but I was like, kind of relieved because ACL, MCL, anything like that, he's done. So having it being a meniscus, only missing, 4 to 5 weeks, definitely going to be back sometime this season. The only thing that I'm really worried about is the fact that he's actually had, you know, obviously knee injuries and problems with his knees before, with the arthritis and stuff like that. So you just hope that something like this doesn't maybe flare something like that up, or maybe he doesn't come back as fast because he's had issues there before. But hopeful for a speedy recovery, because we're going to need him down the stretch for sure.
Any of the previous knee injuries going to hamper the recovery, you think, at all, or what?
Well, it's tough because I think what they said before was like it was arthritis, right?
And yeah, he had some of it was like almost like a growing thing, like you know.
Yeah. And I think he had to learn how to do a little bit of therapy, learn his body a little bit, and figure out what he needed to do to kind of get rid of that. But you never know how stuff like this affects that. So I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to be.
I know. I know. But I thought for the sake of argument. So well, let's hope 4 weeks. Let's hope he's back for UNC. We kind of know what we're going to have, you know, after the game against Niagara. I think we'll have obviously a better idea. They're going to get some practice in, and we will evaluate from there each game, like we always do. And by the way, this show, believe it or not, in only 260-something episodes or whatever, this is our fifth year of covering Syracuse basketball on the show. So congratulations to us.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? We're going into our fifth year.
It's crazy.
That's weird, isn't it? I can't believe I put up with you for this long.
It looks like you've aged 10.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. I'll take that compared to what my wife says. So, look, it was 615 days since Tiana played basketball. And we all watched her battle cancer and survive that. And she's back with the rest of the Orange women. They were a preseason projected into the final as a Final Four contender. She racked up 16.7 rebounds, 4 steals, and 3 assists in Sunday's game versus Stony Brook. And I watched some of that. You've got this other. We'll get to her real quick, Joe. But this freshman, Camila Cardoso, 6'7", center from Brazil. She also scored double figures, 14 points off the bench in 13 minutes. And senior Kiara Lewis and Tiana, they both combined for 24 of Syracuse's 50 points. And so, Joe, when you look at this, we went through this with Rex, and we watched Rex get after this and beat cancer and come back on the field, and Tiana being able to come back. It's a little bit of a different feel with Tiana being kind of, you know, the real leader out there on her team and being kind of the focal point of that team and coming back and playing another year and with a legit shot to really go deep in the tournament this year. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is this team's going to be good this year. This team's going to be good. Matt_Sherman, I think that's 52, on Twitter, he reached out and let me get that right, what his handle is. I know who he is, but I'm trying to get his handle right. Yeah. He reached out on Twitter. He's like, man, you guys didn't talk about Tiana. And Joe and I, last episode, we were like, man, we were going to hit that up. And we just ran too long. And we were just like, we'll hit it up later. But, you know, the point being, this team's going to be good. I think that it's worth the watch. And, you know, it's like it's probably the fourth sport rivaling, you know, got football, basketball, lacrosse, women's basketball.
Yeah. Well, I think with this coach, Quentin Hillsman, he's been good. Obviously, they made a Final Four before. He's kind of brought Syracuse women's basketball to the forefront. They've been ranked numerous times. I remember Tiana. I mean, Tiana had a great junior year. They're talking about her going straight to the WNBA until we found out that she had cancer and she had to go through that whole ordeal. And last year, without her, the team struggled. Kiara Lewis definitely stepped up, and they had some good games, some bad games. I think they had some issues with consistency. But you're talking about bringing back Tiana, who's, you know, was a WNBA-type-looking prospect before, you know, cancer, and the fact that that team had to grow up last year without her. And now you bring in, I believe, a top 5 recruiting class they had this past year.
Yeah, that freshman from Brazil, bro, she's the real deal.
Yeah, the center. Absolutely. Yeah. So there's no doubt in my mind that this team is going to be a good team. It's going to be a good story. Tiana's last year coming back from what she battled with these, you know, with the returners that went through last year and had some good games and some bad games, some ups and some downs, learned some stuff.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You get those girls back with with the recruiting class they have, oh, man, I'm telling you, it's going to take a little while, obviously, yeah, to figure it out.
They got
to
knock the rust off a little bit.
They're deep, and, you know, hopefully, obviously, you know, there's always the COVID stuff, but they're going to be good, man. By the end of the season, they're going to be good. They're going to be a fun team to watch, and I think it's going to be a team that, you know, the hometown can be proud for, you know.
Yeah, and
I know
it's
that
just,
there's a lot of people that poo-poo on, you know, women's sports or women's basketball and stuff like that, but, you know, when you looked at Connecticut, they used to, sell out,
five,
you know what I mean?
Was,
right,
so. Yeah, what'd they win, like five championships in a row or something like that?
It's probably more than that, but again, you know, if you can bring a good product to the court, then, you know, the fans in the hometown are going to support it, and I think this is going to be a team well worth supporting.
Yeah, absolutely, and, you know, just hopefully we can have our fans there in person to support this at some point during the year, and that goes for, obviously, both the teams, but to watch two young adults, I guess, come battle cancer, come back and play for SU, both within a, you know, well, 2 years of one another, kind of, really.
Right.
Just kind of a crazy, amazing story, and what are the chances? In 615 days since she was in real competition on the court and really just shined. I mean, it was like she didn't skip a beat. The team was working on gelling together, but it was like she never stopped. So congratulations to her. Big shout out. We're proud of her, obviously, for that. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes. And next, we're going to talk football. But first, right now, we're going to talk BetOnline. Joe, title sponsor for this show, Hughes Militia, for the currently missing Ty Thoughts. Ty, where you been, buddy? Where's he been? I talked to him a little bit over the weekend. He's busy. I know he's busy. So look for some more Ty Thoughts, maybe to wrap it up. And also, it looks like we need to do a football wrap-up with Tyler. We did one last year, and we might have done one the year before that. So anyway, look for that. Also, the title sponsor for Armchair Media, as I reel myself back in here. Look, we talk a lot about fans being live, but, you know, there's not always the opportunity is going to present itself, and BetOnline's going the extra mile to make sure you can still get in on all the action. They're going to give you the spreads, the totals, the team, player, and coach, and props to bet on. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head over to BetOnline today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. And look, I talk about BetOnline twice an episode, and I talk about our other sponsor, Manscaped. Dude, I use both of these. I really do. And it's the first time I've used both sponsors that were on the podcast at the same time. So I just thought I'd mention that. Why? I don't know.
Good for you.
Just popped in my head.
Oh,
yeah.
Good
That's
for
right.
you.
So,
and how was it?
It was actually a little bit lackluster on the delivery of that, I think. I need to work on it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not bad, though. Not bad.
So, look, Syracuse versus Notre Dame, folks. Anything can happen, right? That's why we play the game. Could you imagine if Syracuse went into Notre Dame and just held with them long enough to kick a last-second field goal or something? Could you imagine?
No, not this year.
But I'm just saying. Let's just say it happened. How amazing would that be? It'd be great. Orange Chuck right now is like, what do you mean? It's going to happen. So, Ian Book, quite the superstar, as we all know, if you've been watching him, if you watched him last week and just chucking stuff in the air and it just gets caught, you know, obviously got the players around him to help him out. And despite being 51st in the country in passing yards per game with 227, he is 16th in total yards. Obviously, the per game thing a little bit skewed, maybe because the different amount of games everybody's played, and it's just kind of a mess. But he is completing 61% of his passes, 12 TDs, and only one pick. However, he is second in rushing yards, too, for the Fighting Irish with 412 yards and 6 touchdowns. First in rushing would be Kyron Williams, approaching 1,000 yards on this season. He sits at 901 right now, and he's averaging 5.6 yards a carry. Now, Notre Dame, get this, Notre Dame is 24th in the country in total offense with 462 yards a game. Juxtapose that with Syracuse's total defense, they're allowing 464 yards a game. So, right at 2 yards off of Notre Dame's average. But it gets better. Listen to this. Notre Dame's total defense ranks 11th, allowing 304 yards a game. Now, they're tied for 16th in rushing offense with 233 yards a game. And, guys, Syracuse is sitting at 109th, allowing 223 rushing yards a game. So, which is a ton. Is a ton. And 10 yards off from Notre Dame's average. So
yeah,
I could keep going, Joe. Obviously, the strategy here for Notre Dame would be to pad this lead early enough to sit the stars and still pull off a win heading into the ACC title game with Clemson for a rematch. And obviously, I would say Syracuse's strategy is to make that as difficult as possible. And obviously, if you can win, pull out the win. But
right.
Make them play. Make them play the whole game.
Of course.
Right? So
I don't think there's. I mean, this is our bowl game, right?
I think, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what do we? What else do we have, right? I mean, the Clemson game was early, and you know, this is all we've got left. This is our last hurrah.
Yep. And it could end bad. You never know.
Well, if you remember right,
this team's going to go. I mean, what? Think about it. Even seniors and stuff. Like, how many chances you have to go to Notre Dame? Play against the number two team undefeated and just throw a wrench in their season.
I mean, that's exactly my point, and that's my hopes. I remember the last time Syracuse played Notre Dame, and I think we had just lost, we had only lost to Clemson, right? Going into that game. Is that right? And,
yeah.
And they were so good, and we went through the whole spiel, and my brother-in-law is a Notre Dame fan, and there was another podcast that actually invited us on their show, and they were a little nervous, and you know, freaking what? First drive of the game, Eric Dungy's out with back injury or whatever that was. Remember that?
Yeah.
We ended up losing like 30.
DeVito had to play. Yeah.
Yeah, ended up losing 36-3 or something crazy like that. I don't have a point. I was just saying. Remember that? How awesome that was going into that game. We thought we had a chance. Now we're going into this game, and we don't really think we have a chance. So. You know, our expectations are a little bit different. So let's just see what we can do. Just like going into the NC State game. Like, our expectations were not there. Okay, this is a 33.5 point spread right now, which we'll get to in the ACC picks of the week. That's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's the smartest thing for them to do. And again, I mean, could they run it up and then kind of sit their guys and stuff. Yeah, but that's not really all of the games that they've had this year. Most of the games have been kind of, you still got to play your starters. I mean, Duke, they only beat by 14 the first game of the season. Now, South Florida, they killed. Florida State, I think, scored some points late. They killed. But Louisville, 12-7. They beat Pittsburgh 45-3. Georgia Tech, 31-13. But since then, it's been kind of like a game. Clemson, Boston College, North Carolina, they've been close. And I just don't know where – I'm not privy enough to Notre Dame's injuries, and really they – no coaches are saying anything about anything. But the smartest thing for them to do would just be to ground and pound and kind of sustain long drives, keep us off the field as far as offensive-wise, and just put points up on the board. Ian Book, he runs, he passes. He's only got one interception this whole season. So they're an efficient team. They're not really – prone to turning the ball over. We'll see, because our defense kind of can, but their biggest thing has been their defense. This is going to be the best defense that we've played all year. And with the offense that we have, it could be ugly, man.
Yeah, of course it could be ugly, Joe, but you know, if you want to be negative and talk about it,
that's fine. If they sleep on us, that's fine. But nobody's really been able to run the ball on them this year. And you know, I just think it's going to be a lot of just taking chances and dinking and dunking like we have been, but I just don't know how well it's going to be against Notre Dame. That's just...
Oh, dude, you know, that's going to be brutal. Playbook.
They're going to go, that's the last hurrah, Rex Culpepper. This is probably your last start, right? Like, go out there and do whatever, you know? Yeah, sometimes that stuff happens,
Bon Jovi,
right?
Man, living on a prayer. That's it.
Sometimes that stuff happens. Yeah. Weird things happen sometimes, but
this and this is the last game of the season, and it's been a brutal season, and I can just tell, you know, in the fan feedback, in the downloads, all of these things, you know, everybody's over it, which is why I think it would be a it would be not only awesome but freaking just hilarious to go out there and make this a game.
I mean, look.
I mean,
Babers, with Babers, almost every year we get an upset, right? So,
well, yeah. This is,
I know. I mean, I know it's a long shot and it's a different kind of year, but
yeah, it's a just, way it's a way different kind of year.
Yeah,
that's for sure. So, anyway, we'll get into the pick. Of course, we'll do that one first. Obviously, I want to switch gears here. And what do you want to do, Joe? Do you want to do the fan feedback real quick, or do you want to get into this game? Because I didn't really have an order. You want to do the game? I'm asking first.
Fan feedback. Fan feedback.
Okay. All right. That's what I was going to do. That's how I had it set up. So let's see here. All right. At Demidome 9, he said he listened to the whole pod. It's a pandemic. What else am I supposed to do? Because we were joking, it's an hour and 24 minutes. To answer the question on whether they should be shorter or longer, maybe 24-hour pod marathon. All proceeds go to charity, Joe. What do you think? It would be very embarrassing to only – I would be pitching in hundreds of my own dollars just to make it look like we did something. That's why we're not going to do that. But that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Oh, God. I don't know if I could do it.
What do you mean? We did every day for a week or something like that. Hour a day. That's 7 hours. That was hell. Yeah, you're probably right. At D-Rads, it's why'd he spike the damn ball? This is his title name there, which I thought was funny. I like the longer episodes as long as there's substance, but this one was good. I think the COVID protocols per each state in their guidelines. Also, why don't you use Q Waterboys fan feedback for the last game? Well, you know, I had thought about it, and I was going to use one and not the other. They were both good. I didn't know which way to go, and at the end of the day, the one I was going to use I already passed, and I already had it set up for the fan feedback, so that's why. And I tried to explain that, and I know he hates me, but it's okay. At Golfer Garden, hey guys, love the podcast, always fun. I'm very nervous about listeners who heard a bit about COVID protocols. You referenced that people with symptoms are not really spreaders, which isn't true. The period before you have symptoms is the most contagious. Please be careful. Okay, so we had mentioned asymptomatics, and look, we're not scientists. This is a mostly opinion show, unless otherwise stated. But you know, I figured we'd clear this up because I thought I had said something like you had said they're not asymptomatic people aren't spreading it, and obviously that was a broad statement.
Right.
And I had said, well, yeah, you know, they're just not spreading. They're not super spreaders. I went back and listened to it, and that's what I said.
Yeah, so, that's what you said. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, and you can go back and look as far back as February and as, I think, as recent as June, where the WHO, which, you know, the WHO, in my opinion, I don't trust them. Okay. So you could take it for what it's worth, but they said that asymptomatic cases weren't a major cause of the viral spread. But that's their position. But they've also flip-flopped numerous times.
Oh, that's right? The problem, right? Is that there's been so many differing opinions of some of the things, so I don't really even know where there could be truth to it. I could just only imagine that in a situation where you're already social distancing and then, you know, hearing in some instances that they're saying that asymptomatic people aren't the super spreaders, and then they're keeping their distance on top of that. It was kind of just me using Jim Boeheim as an example in his example of how he was practicing and keeping their social distancing and stuff like that, you know, as far as me just saying and kind of agreeing with Jim that he didn't put himself in a situation ever to where somebody could have caught it from him, whether he knew he had it or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, there's been numerous studies, and you can look at all these. I'm not going to go through them all, but where they tested 300 asymptomatics and they all tested positive, but none of them had the live virus, which means they're not contagious. You can go through and you can look and definitely find stuff that says asymptomatic people are, you know, the most contagious, and you can look and say, you know, and his argument is obviously that, you know, before you're showing symptoms is the worst time, you know, where you're the most contagious. But you can, my point is, you can find confirmation bias on anything, because like you said, they flip-flop so many times on this stuff. It's like, well, what do you use? What do you take? And Brownstone
And to what he said too, what, like, before you show symptoms is like the most, like, sometimes it's, you're most apt to spread it, but that's for people that aren't asymptomatic, right? Because people that are asymptomatic don't really get symptoms.
Well, there are. So there was one thing that I seen a while back where there was people with mild symptoms, but not enough to bother them, where they just like, oh, I got a headache or whatever, and they never went and got checked out. And in those people, those mild symptoms, I mean, maybe they're getting lumped in with asymptomatic. Like, I have no idea. None of us really know.
None of us really know.
Okay. Yeah. My point of bringing this up is that take everything we say with a grain of salt, do your own research. Obviously, we were just having a conversation, and I don't want to go too much further into that, but, you know, you look at kids in school, if anything, asymptomatic. Kids have been in school. My kid's been in school for a couple months, and now they're taking them out. No reports of large outbreaks in schools, okay? You know, so why are we doing that? Same thing, we're shutting down things that have proven not to really spread this thing in any significant way, like gyms.
And we're not making light of it, right? We're just showing in these specific scenarios, this is what has happened, right?
So. Right. I mean, look at gyms, okay? I haven't seen a gym since the 90s, bro, okay? I don't care about gyms, but they're not spreading it. I'm not seeing it. I don't see any reports on it. I'm not seeing it, all right? They got protocols there. You got schools. I mentioned that. There's no significant – even some of the Corona bros will say schools aren't spreading it, but they're still shutting them down. So why? Outdoor dining and sports. So, I mean, that's
where I got nothing.
I mean, that's just none where I was coming from with that. Exactly. That's just where I was coming from that. And there's so much information out there. You don't know what's what sometimes.
Right.
So anyway, and there was more, but we appreciate the feedback. I think I got out of the feedback though, that, you know, an hour of us is plenty. It's plenty. Okay?
Well, an hour with you is plenty for me, I'll tell you that.
Touche. Fair enough. All right. Let's get into Niagara. But first, one more time. Let's do this. Bet Online. You know it. Title sponsor. Armchair Media. Cuse Militia. You're not going to get to a game in the Dome likely this year, but you can get in on all the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coach and props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Look, if you are looking for something for your significant other this Christmas, you know, someone should send Joe this, okay? Isn't it Giving Tuesday or something? Give Joe the love of the 3.0, the lawnmower 3.0, that is. Right now, Manscaped, they have the perfect package 3.0. Okay, this is a package equipped with all of the things Joe needs to stop being gross. Okay, and we've talked plenty before about, you know, if you're doing the little Manscaped action below the belt, don't do the Manscaped action, you know, around your lips, Joe. Okay, it's just gross.
Why are you talking to me like I do this?
What do you mean? You do. That's why I'm saying it. So look,
have a camera in my bathroom?
No, Joe, I've heard. Plus, you're pretty close to my brother, and he told me to. So, all these products are great. You got the Lawnmower 3.0. You got the Crop Preserver. That's the anti-chafing cream. Put that down there. Don't chafe. No one wants to chafe, all right? And they also got the nose and ear hair trimmer, which is phenomenal. Something about a really powerful motor. Don't have it in front of me currently, but really, really powerful. The Lawnmower 3.0, by the way, contour design. Skin saving. Joe's currently picking nose hairs out. Doesn't even water his eyes no more. He does it so much. What a sicko. Look, if you order right now, Manscaped's going to send you a pair of boxers. They'll keep your junk fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those used pair of boxers to Manscaped high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season. So go to Manscaped right now. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR and get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR. Please stop being gross. By the way, I'm sure your ladies would appreciate it. Those of you who have ladies. Right, Joe?
Yes, sir.
All right, Syracuse versus Niagara. Now, Niagara played last night, and I meant to check this. Oh, my gosh. Y'all caught me with egg on my face. What'd they do, Joe? What did they do?
I don't think they played, bro.
Oh, really? Thought they were supposed to play Stony Brook, actually. No, it was canceled. Okay, well.
Yeah.
So, Niagara's first game will be at Syracuse this Friday. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, Thursday. I'm so prepared right now. Yeah, December 3rd. Yep. December 3rd on Thursday. So, got some returners. A 1.88-meter, 72-kilogram guard. What does that mean? I have no idea. I have no idea, but that's how they're listed. There's no way, ESPN, there's no way to tell how tall he is or how much he weighs using that formula. There's no way to tell. We'll never know.
Who is he?
This is junior guard Marcus Hammond. He averaged over 14.3 points last year.
6'2", 160 pounds.
There you go. You will never know for sure unless you speak American about it. 4.6 rebounds and 2.9 assists per game. Assists per game on his way to earning first team honors last year. Junior guard Rakeem Solomon averaged 9.6 points a game, 3.6 rebounds, and shot 39.5% overall, 34% from behind the arc. And senior forward Greg, oh man, you got me. You got me. I practiced this one before the show. Greg
Krotholm.
Huh? No.
Krotholm.
No. There's no M. There is an M. There's no TH, though. Kakamensa. Greg Kakamensa. Average 8.4 points a game.
Nicholas Krotholm.
Average 8.4 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, and shot 48% last year. And we might see some of senior guard Justin Roberts. He chucked up 127 from behind the arc last year, and he made 42.5%. That's pretty damn good. James Towns, you might remember him from last year. Big loss. Guard shot 44%, averaged just over 11 points a game. And they don't even have any.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Anybody coming into this program, according to ESPN, there's no one coming into this program this year. So they've got a lot of guys returning, and that's who they've got. That's pretty much it.
I think they got a couple freshmen.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah.
Greg Paulus, obviously, he exceeded expectations last year, got himself a contract extension, and the Purple Eagles actually they're not projected to be too awful. They're projected to finish around somewhere in the top four in the Metro Atlantic. So I'm not sure what we're going to see from Syracuse on this one, Joe. I am a little bit apprehensive, and just for the simple fact that I do want to see improvement, obviously, and that's kind of where I stand. And with Sidibe being out, we'll see how good these guys mesh coming into this game. But it goes without saying that, you know, I think we need to do a little bit better on closing out and giving these guys open looks. Not really, really sharp shooters, but you know how that goes with Syracuse. And you give these guys open shots, and they're going to take them. And that's going to be their strategy.
Of course.
Does Greg Paul still play quarterback?
Probably. And will he just in his spare time?
And will he just stay here on Friday and travel with the team?
So these guys last year they didn't give us like a fit. We were up 13.5, won by 14, but they were supposed to be picked to be in the bottom of the Metro Atlantic, like you said. And Paulus came in, and I believe he won Coach of the Year. And he did good enough to even go from interim to actually get an extension. As you spoke, Marcus Hammond, Raheem Solomon, and Justin Roberts, those are going to be the main guards that are in there. Kuka Mensah is a 6'6 forward, and they do have Nicholas Kretholm, who is a 6'9 forward, but they don't really have height, so this isn't a game that Sidibe leaving or not being able to play. It's not going to really hurt us. We're going to be able to put Mark in there at center. He's going to be bigger than anyone else on the other team. And we should be okay. I think the biggest thing here is they're going to play like exactly what you said. They're a guard-heavy team. They're going to try to penetrate, kick out, get threes. Marcus Hammond and Justin Roberts both shot over 40% from the three-point line last year, and they shot a bunch of them. So they can make them. But my biggest thing, and I guess it goes to how we were playing and what happened with us, but these guys, they got shut down for most of the end of November because of COVID protocol. And they, I think, believe just started practicing back up again on Sunday. So they're going to have 4 days of practice. And if, you know, like what Boeheim was talking about and everything, not practicing for 2+ weeks and then coming in and only getting 4 days to prepare for a team like Syracuse, who just got a game in and now are currently practicing, that's going to be a tough go for them. But yeah. I like Paulus as a coach, and I think this team can be pretty good in their conference this year. They definitely overachieved last year, and you know, we shall see. But
why do you have so much energy today? I got to ask.
What do you mean?
Why? Where'd you get the energy from?
Why? Do you feel like I have energy?
No, I don't. I don't.
No.
I'm disappointed.
No, you're being sarcastic.
Yes, that was sarcastic. Joe, okay. Come on. You know better than that. You know better than that. Okay?
I'm sorry.
I think we're both lacking on the delivery today.
It's been a long day, man.
I know.
It's been a long day.
It was a long day for me, too. It was, so I apologize. You know, what's unfortunate, too, about the basketball season is that it's not easy to do the ACC picks. Okay? We remember we tried it last year and it just didn't work that good? Yeah.
Well, because so many teams play in, like, different days. So.
I know, and in the spread comes out, what, 24 hours ahead of time, maybe? Sometimes not even, you know?
So right, yeah. Football comes out, like, a week before.
It sucks. It's tough to do, so we're not going to get to do any of that, but it is a grind. It is going to be fun. I still don't, you know, like I said, I'm apprehensive to see really what we've got, but I don't think, you know, we're going to get, I'm not using this as an excuse either, but going into the Rider game, you know, I think you really probably are going to have a better idea. Not that Niagara's like not going to be any good, but I'm worried about this season and how what we've already dealt with Syracuse and Bryant and now Syracuse and Niagara, where you've got kind of a handicap, you know, on teams here and there. And to the point of what we were, why we were mentioning all that stuff last week and played that clip of Coach, is because they need to figure it out. And they've had almost, they've had 8 months to figure this season out. And you think they'd have done a better job already, and they haven't. And if we're going to see a lot of games getting postponed and things like that, guys, I just want to say that football played, there, it looks like they're going to play their whole season, first of all. Second of all, if we see a lot of these postpones and canceled games, it's not like football where you can just reschedule it. It's more difficult than that.
Well, I mean, you have to understand that usually in the bowl, I mean, you almost, some teams get a month.
Yeah, for
during the bowl
season.
Sure, yeah, there's such a huge gap, right? Yeah. So there was a bunch of postponements and cancellations and stuff like that. But in basketball, it goes straight from regular season into three, four days later, you're in the conference tournament. Yeah. And then what, you get a week before the NCAA tournament or any other postseason tournaments.
It's
sometimes
a grind.
It's less, right? So unless they're willing to push it back and spread it out, you know, and have a May Madness, then you're definitely going to have to change some things in certain conferences and certain protocols, without a doubt.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're going to have to figure it out. So,
anyway, and if it goes to what Boeheim talked about with, you know, conditioning and everything like that. I remember last year, one of the big things we had was problems with Niagara is just how, you know, aggressive their defense was. They were pressing. They were just all over the place. And if they haven't had a chance to kind of get their basketball cardio back up, then that might be more difficult for them to pull off this year and or against us. And I just hope that we can come out after having a game. We have a good starting five. I just don't want them to have to play 30 plus minutes to win this game. And I'd like to see some of the other guys.
Yeah, I'd like to see some guys get some rest. To be nice to, you know, like we were talking about Notre Dame, just build that lead up and get some of these other guys out here and see what they can do. You know, but we'll see. Obviously, you know, it's going to be difficult. So,
well, I mean, you want them to maximize their minutes with each other on the court so they can get that continuity. But at the same time, with such early in the season against teams that you shouldn't have to worry about that much, you would much more like to see newer faces go out there and see what they can do and get some more experience with depth, you know, because we know what we got with our top five.
Right, exactly. So quickly, what do you know, we say we're looking for improvement. I mean, I'd say I'm looking for better defense. I felt like the scoring was good while they were playing a decent, you know, they were facing the press and they were getting, you know, they faced a little bit different defense and they struggled at first, but they ended up being able to score quite a bit, you know. So what are you looking for? You look at the closeouts and the defense as well, or you got something else?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. The way that this game's matched up, and even the Bryant game, you don't shoot good from the three-point line, then you're really not going to be in this game if you're Niagara. You know, and that's what Bryant did, and that's why you saw us come back in the second half, because they didn't hit them.
Just fizzled out.
Basically. So if they can't hit threes and they can't play defense against us as well and kind of get stops. Because, I mean, we could have shot a lot better. We could have scored a lot more points with some missed bunnies and stuff like that. And if that gets taken care of, then you're talking about a lot more points. So unless Niagara is just really hot from three and we can't close out again, like you said, that's really what you're looking at. Teams like this, that's what they need to do against a 2-3 zone. With a team that's got the talent like we have.
We always rely on teams. A lot of them start hot, and we always, this won't last. It's like the same thing. And
sometimes
it's like,
it does.
I know, sometimes it does last. And we're always the fans that are like, oh, well, you know, this is how it is. And this is, you know, it's like freaking Groundhog Day. You know, it's like when we watch the first SU football game of the year, we knew what the problem was. I don't want to have to sit here and talk about defense all year. No. It's going
and
to get.
There's always been that guy too, right?
Yeah.
Who's the guy on the other team that averages 6 points? It's going to have 18 because he hits six threes.
The guy. Yeah, the guy. The guy. You know?
I don't give a shit what you or anybody else thinks or writes.
Oh, so what do you think about that? Okay. So.
Got nothing to say.
Oh my gosh, I forgot almost before we go into fan feedback. Before we go into ACC picks, that's it for basketball, by the way. I got one from Daryl. Daryl's upset. And golly, I hope I can find this. Yes, I got it. It's right here. Daryl, top. Did I say golly?
Yeah, you did.
I did. Yeah. I did. Daryl, top fan on Facebook. Daryl,
that's real. That was real life.
That was real life. Thank you, Daryl, for being a top fan. We love you for it. He says, Sean and Joe, so to answer a few questions, first, I listened to the entire hour and 24-minute podcast episode Sunday night. Second, I believe 1 hour is a good amount of time for you guys, basically, is what he's saying. Third, I believe the ACC teams testing 3 times a week. This is a good number. Fourth, Boeheim's act towards local reporters is getting old. I'm sick and tired of his... attitude towards media members when they ask the tough questions and when he lashes out. It's okay. We will have more players transfer at year's end again due to the lack of playing time. Future players see what coach does and can obviously deter players from wanting to come to Syracuse. So I have... There was an episode I think we did last year with James where we talked about coach kind of went off. I think it was on Mike Waters or something, right? And we're like, yeah, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. See, here's the thing. Like, we just see what happens in the presser, okay? Right. And, you know, we kind of took Mike Waters' side, being like, well, I don't know. You know, I didn't feel like he was asking a terrible question, but we don't know. And so here's the thing with coach, Daryl, is that and this is why I stick up for him. First of all, I had a problem, and Joe and I had the same problem with the press conference that we're talking about specifically. And that is that when he was talking about all of these things, no one had any follow-up questions to what he was talking about. And he was obviously frustrated about it. And no one asked him some follow-up questions to make it a story about his frustrations with the protocols.
Or to gain clarity,
anything like that. So my point is that they're going to go into those press conferences with an agenda already ready to write things. I'm not saying they all do that. I'm just saying in general, they're going to get their story that they want to get. And that's why they're going in there and they're going to try to get that story. They already have an idea of what they're going to probably be doing, right? So... You know, coach has dealt with the local media and the national media too. I mean, he's went off on plenty of national guys too. Okay.
Oh yeah.
For you know, various reasons. And so he's dealt with the Syracuse media, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's been 40 something years. What, this is in his 45th season or something like that?
Yeah.
And you know,
he pays attention.
And he reads everything. And there was the whole thing with Jerry McNamara where there was an anonymous assistant coach that said Jerry Mack was overrated. Well, we don't know that. No one's ever told us who that anonymous coach was. Okay, we don't know that. For all we know, honestly, they made that up. For all we know, honestly, they could have made it up. Right or wrong?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe coach knows something we don't. So I'm just saying that you got to look at it from coach's perspective too. I think it's clear when coach... crosses a line, and I think he has, but we don't know why. Like I said, we'd never really know the full story.
No, we don't, right? And I mean, Stephen Bailey, he was a reporter at Syracuse.com, and we don't know what happened with that, and then he goes to 247 Sports. So again, there's things behind the scenes that no one really knows, and they haven't even had a game, right? So this reaction to him is based off either past experiences or... Like he said, I mean, from what I gathered, he said this isn't football.
He read all the football stuff.
And it seemed to me that he's been reading the football stuff and seeing how he's been – the questions he's been asking Dino and then how he frames it in his articles. So he had something to say about it, and he said it.
Now,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
To Daryl's point, I can see that side of it too, Daryl. I can see the side that you're coming from. Where the act may be getting old, you think it's disrespectful, you're worried about recruiting, but...
But maybe certain reporters' acts are getting old as well, right?
Well maybe, but if listen, and this is a but to an example. When Coach went off on the 10 effing games thing with Jerry McNamara, That soldered that relationship. That was Jerry. If you listen to Eric Devendorf's podcast with Jerry McNamara, that Jerry McNamara was like forever loyal to Coach for that. So as far as like the kids not being, you know, the kids not, you know, the recruiting thing. I mean, I can see where you I can see where you're coming from with that a little bit, but you got
some of it, yeah,
some of it.
But
sure,
there's many people that that might like sway them. There's that many more people that are like, oh man, this
guy's
real.
Got my back.
He's gonna tell me what he's real. He's gonna tell me what it is, and he's got my back. He's looking out for me, right?
Yeah. And
I mean, that's how he is. He'll go up. He'll tell a recruit in the offseason, hey, you're not gonna play here. You should probably transfer.
Yeah, and help
you
him
know.
Do it.
He tells it how it is. He always has. And I don't really at this point understand why people even question it or why it even really.
He's been doing it his whole
surprises
career.
Them, right? Yeah.
Well, I can understand to Daryl's point how it gets old. Seems disrespectful. You caught Bailey in like a deer in the headlights, and I felt bad for Steven. You know, I think, you know, I felt bad, you know, but I don't know what's going on there. You know what I'm saying? And I read Steven's stuff. So,
who's to say that reporters can't be held accountable at some point?
Well, they absolutely need to be. So,
and that's kind of that, right?
That's kind of that, pretty much. So anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on and on, but I did. That was the one I meant to start off with, by the way, and I knew I was missing something. So forgive me. It looks like we're going to go over an hour again, which is fine. But we got to start to get these things down. Start to get these things down a little bit. At Oil Cuse on Twitter says, love the pod. He loved it. He thought the last episode was great. He enjoyed it. He listened to the whole thing, but he says, Joe puts ketchup on his hot dogs. And look, that's gross. That's freaking gross, Joe. Okay,
is
this true?
That's a rumor spread by you, and that's just, it's not going to happen. I do not put ketchup on my hot dog.
Captain Patrick, Joe puts ketchup on his hot dog, man. That is disappointing stuff right there. All right, Joe, so you nasty. So, look, Syracuse heads into Notre Dame at 33.5-point underdog. That's a ton of points, Joe. That's a ton of points. What are they going to do?
Huge, Tom.
It's huge. By the way, your ACC picks of the week brought to you by Bet Online. So,
yeah, you kicked my butt last week.
Oh, yes. By the way, I got the belt back. 4-1, I believe, I reckon, is what we came up with before we started the show.
Oh, yeah, you went 4-1. I went 2-3. Congrats, bud.
Thank you. That's the best 1 week record of the year so far, I believe.
It is.
So, anyways, Bet Online said they called. They said, "Look, we're gonna keep sponsoring you guys. Keep this up. Do a good job. One of you has got to nail it." So, go ahead, Joe. Syracuse. I'm gonna give this one to you first, buddy. They're getting 33.5 points, man. What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna take Syracuse.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Look, last game of the year, that's a lot of points. I don't think that Notre Dame really has to do anything flashy here. Like I said, get in, get out.
Get in,
that's
get out.
That's how I would be if I was just if I was the coach and you know, you have the talent to do it, just run and do your little dink and dunk efficiency passing like you have with Ian Book, and then he'll run as well. So again, unless they play a perfect game and we just lay an egg, I think that the way that this game is going to play out, it's going to be tough to beat 33.5 points.
I really want to go against you, but I am going to hold hope one last time, and for a couple reasons. First of all, I went against the Orange last week, and you did as well, and we lost.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I'll take
that.
We've
been going back and forth, and we've been losing every week.
Right. And I mean, right, exactly. So we haven't really nailed it down yet. But, you know, it's the last game of the year. I'm going to take Syracuse as well. Are you writing these down, Joe? Because it doesn't look like you're really doing anything, per the usual. So I will take them because I it's the last game. I already said that my hope is that they keep this thing close enough to just drag it out for four full quarters for Ian Book and these other guys. And I just, that's what I hope for. So that's where I'm going. My heart's in that one. All right. Boston College heading into Virginia as a 6-point underdog. And, you know, what was the game of the week last week that we chose? I forget. I feel like that was 2 weeks ago. It's only, I feel like it was forever.
Yeah. Well, thank that 4-day weekend is, huh?
Yeah, right. I know. It feels like it was.
So Virginia is a 6-point favorite.
Yes.
All right.
Yep. And so, you know, Boston College, let's see, where was I at with this Boston College last? They beat Louisville, but they didn't beat them by enough, in my opinion. I feel like they should have beat them by more. They did cover, though, right?
Yes.
And because of that, I'm going to take Boston College, man. I think I'm going to take Boston College. Because, hold on, I'm looking at something here. I wanted to see, gosh darn it, why won't this work right? Nothing's working right today. What is German Bundesliga? What is that? What's Bundesliga?
Bundesliga?
Oh, is
that's
it?
That's a German soccer league.
Is it? Why am I looking at it? Why is it in front of me?
I have no idea.
Okay, here we go. All right. So, all right, I've got it back. We're in business.
You all right, man?
Yeah, UVA didn't get to play last week. Yeah, Boston College did. You know, I don't know if they had any injuries or anything like that, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to stick with what I said. I'm going to go with Boston College, 6 points.
Okay. So you're going to go Boston College. Me, I am going to go. I'm going to stick with the Virginia pick. Last week, I thought they were going to beat up Florida State pretty good. They're getting people healthy because things are getting canceled. And Boston College, actually, their starting quarterback did get hurt last week. And their backup quarterback. What's that?
I said, that's awesome. Thanks for letting me know.
Well, I mean, you wanted to go first, right? So their backup quarterback threw for 2 touchdowns after Phil Jerkovic was hurt. Jerkovic. And, yeah, I don't know. They have their backup. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but I'm going to go Virginia here.
All right, fine. So next on the slate here, Georgia Tech heading into NC State as a 7-point underdog, getting the 7 there. And, man. Man.
Really?
Georgia Tech just destroyed Duke. They just destroyed them. I think they covered with the 7 points at NC State. I don't think that's going to be an issue.
What, Georgia Tech?
Yeah. I'm going to take Georgia Tech.
No. The team that Syracuse beat?
Yeah. Hmm. Yep.
Okay.
They also beat, you know, Clemson 1 year, too.
Yeah, I'm going to take NC State.
Good.
NC State played probably the worst game they could have possibly put against Syracuse and still beat us by 7.
That's true.
And they're playing home against a team that we beat.
56 points, though, on Duke. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but Duke's not really that good.
I understand that. How many we got left? 1?
2.
2, yeah. Miami, Duke, and this one here. Clemson at Virginia Tech. Look, you know, this is a lot of points.
How many?
It's 21.5.
Ooh.
At Virginia Tech. Yeah. Clemson comes into that game, obviously, as a 21.5-point favorite. So, man.
Oh, naturally.
Man. Man. This is a difficult one. I think all the Clemson games, just because the spreads are so broad, they're just so hard to pick.
Just go back to your thought, man. Just go back
never
to
bet
your...
against. Never bet against Clemson. I'm going to take Clemson.
Me too.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Virginia Tech's been way too up and down. That's really it. I don't know if they're going to have fans with all this COVID stuff. And I just, it's going to take a lot of mistakes for Clemson to not cover them.
When was the last time?
Or bad weather.
Yeah, well, Miami comes into Duke as a 14.5 point favorite. And, you know, like we just said, Duke just got demolished. You know, 14 points at Duke, that's kind of 14.5 Duke. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. This one's tough. When was the last time they even played, bro?
I don't care. I'm taking Miami.
Really? Okay. I mean, they didn't play last week.
It's fine.
All right, I'll take Miami. By the way, we're under an hour. How beautiful is that? Giving you guys what you want. That's what we do here at the Cuse Militia. We appreciate you guys listening. So we give you what you want.
It's game of the week, bro.
Game of the week for me is going to have to be... It's going to have to be... Golly. Boston College at Virginia.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the one. I wanted to say Georgia Tech at NC State because it might have been a horrible pick.
Dude, SU at Notre Dame.
Yeah, let's hope so. Is that where you're going?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Homer. That's a homer move, man. I like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. All right. That's it. Did we cover everything? Can you have some more energy the next time we do this?
It's kind of
important to come here with the necessary amount of energy to, you know, get people pumped up. That's what we're trying to do, right? Get people pumped up. Right?
I am sorry if I feel like...
Dude, you are being a bum. You do this once in a while, you're just a bum. And tonight you're being a bum. And I was in a great mood coming here, man. Grabbed a beer, got basketball on. Michigan State's tied with Duke right now, 31-31, minute 42 in the first. Coming here. And you're like, you ready, Joe? I'm ready, man. Okay, all right. Brought me down, dude.
Screwed. That's not how that was, bro.
That's how that happened. Joe puts ketchup on his hot dogs, folks. That is what we learned today. Thank you, Captain Patrick, for that. And and if you guys put ketchup on your hot dogs, man, I would tell you not to listen, but I love you too much. Plus, we need your support. Okay? We're dying over here. All right? Thanks to Joe's low energy. All right. Look, we're getting out of here. We appreciate all of you for tuning in once again in just... You must be gluttons for punishment. We appreciate you. Thanks, Ben Online. Thanks to Manscaped. For Joe, I am Sean. We're out of here.
Peace.
Low energy Joe. Exclamation point.